One more quick thing I left out. As some of you have noticed in the handout, we've got a guest speaker today. Her name is Diane Dandenault. That's how you pronounce it. The way I remember it is, today's your day to get to know Diane Dandenault. So hang out with her. This is her. You can come right on out here. This is Diane. She's also going to play us. She's also our special music for today. Now, she's a speaker, a singer, a songwriter. She's an internationally collected artist, author, activist, serial entrepreneur, spiritual teacher, and coach. And she doesn't mind bragging about being all of these things. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing you, Diane. But she has been a great friend of Unity of Boulder for many, many years. She's played music and spoke on the stage many times in the past. She has taught workshops here. As a matter of fact, she's teaching one today. She'll tell you a little bit more about it during her talk. But Diane Dandenault.
Thank you. know that I come to tell it well.
It is so great to be here with you today. I am just thrilled to be at Unity and one joy sharing my music. I always love playing with these guys. They are spectacular. Thank you for your accompaniment. Oh, you know, I do love sharing my music, and yes, I have some stories to tell. And today I am going to share a couple of stories to illustrate my talk, which is called The Year of Awakening, what it really means to live a divinely guided life. And it's also the title of my next book, but it's really the culmination of so many things I've learned and really am learning, continuing to learn continuously on this awakening journey. And that is really a focus of mine now. And I'm here to share a lot of what I've learned and talk about sort of the three keys or three phases, kind of wrap around, you know, how do I kind of, what do I focus on? How do I really live a divinely guided life? And I came to all this sort of like, you know, accidentally, because as many of us do. But the first story begins at a point in my life when I should have been, super excited, happy. I had achieved the American dream. I spent 17 years building a company, building software systems that we finally sold to a .com and then sold to a giant corporation. When I moved to San Diego, bought a house, was given an executive position, had a lot of money and everything, and it was great. I had made it. My family was finally happy. They didn't have to worry about me anymore. My friends were actually astonished. Like, wow, you did that. And it was a struggle. It was hard. I really focused on, I'm going to sell this company so I can retire and go be a full-time artist. That was the plan. So I went to move to San Diego, and I had to be there for 7 years, unfortunately, but that was the deal. So be there for 7 years. But after the first year, the problem was that I became suicidally depressed. And, you know, I'm like really also feeling guilty. It's like, what's the matter with you? You know, everybody else is like, says you got a great life. But I was at a place where I couldn't function. I couldn't get out of bed. I tried to go through the motions. I was really in a incredibly, physically depressed place. And so I decided that, well, I guess I should do something about it. And I'd actually been depressed in the past, and I'd been gotten out of a relationship, which is part of it, but I knew there was something different. And I even thought about killing myself. This thought kept going through my mind. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. But both my parents were alive, and I knew I would never hurt them that way, so I really was even, like, feeling more stuck. And I also had a little bit of a thought that something spiritual might be missing, because I'd been raised Methodist and a little Presbyterian, and I saw over the years how the sort of the hypocrisy and the exclusionary mindset of a separation kind of religious background just didn't feel good to me. So I nature became my church, and I pretty much walked away from God and Jesus or any kind of religion, any kind of connection to a higher power. And so I decided I wanted to go for some spiritual therapist, because maybe that might be something that might be helpful. And I made two phone calls, one and left messages for two therapists, and one of them called me back, and she set an appointment with me, and I went to see her. she gave me a 10-question questionnaire. Basically, are you depressed? Like, yes. Okay, well, we're going to put you on antidepressants. And at this point in my life, it's like I was scared, because I mean, whether or not I was going to kill myself was secondary to the fact that I couldn't function. And like, okay, well, I think this is probably what I need to do. And so I went ahead and went on the antidepressants, and I just want to say as an aside, as I really believe that they are useful and helpful in the right situations for many, many people. So as I go through my story here and my choices, it's not what I wanted to do, but I did take them for a while, and I was like, just became numb. So I didn't really want to kill myself, and I could get up in the morning, but I didn't really feel excited about living, and I thought, okay, well, I could do this for 7 years. But then I realized that, oh my gosh, I couldn't do it for 7 years, and I was like really upset, and I sat down one day and I said, okay, God, I don't know who you are, I don't know where you are, but I give up. What do you want me to do? And the next day, the phone rings, and a gentleman named Jason Brody, and he says, hello, I'm sorry, you left me a message about a month ago, and I'm really sorry, I've been in India with my teacher. Do you still need a spiritual therapist? And I said, yeah, I do. And so I started working with Jason, who began to work with me in a meditation, level of meditation and deep, painful introspection, in which he began to crack the armor to what I was suppressing and what I was hiding from within me. And so I took this place where this truth was starting to come. And I also started writing in my journals, like my prayers. I'd like to write down, okay, God, you know, what's happening today? And I write the prayers, but I was suddenly beginning to get the answers. And I like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I just kind of like kept on going. But I also felt really good every time I wrote. Like, oh, this feels good. But then I was noticing that as the truth was being revealed, I had to decide if I was going to listen. And so what I did was what I know now is the first key or the first phase of living a divinely guided life, and that was to make the decision to say, yes, I'm going to live from truth. And what I share with you is that from this commitment, I wrote in my journal, and I kind of made a declaration. This is the truth book. This is the journal I bought back in that time. Today I walk away from my past. I forgive everyone and myself for every negative act and thought. I accept my life and myself as it is. I accept everyone as they are. I surrender to my soul, which is the essence of God and part of everything. And in this book, I begin to write the truth of my soul, my truth. Through my hands and my heart, I ask God to speak to me. Tell me the truth, our truth. Let me feel your infinite love. Let me be the reflection of that love. I made a declaration. I made a decision. A few days later, I walked into the HR department at work, and I was talking to the head there, I'm trying to work out go to a different department, see if I can solve some problems and, you know, keep my job, because of course I had to stay there for 7 years. And she says, is this really going to solve your problem, Diane? I said, no, I think I have to leave. And I, at that moment, hold that thought, because from my perspective in that moment, what that meant, leaving right there, was for me to walk away with zero and from my 17 years of business. I would walk away from my stock, I'd walk away from my signing bonuses, I'd walk away from everything. And with over $1 million, I was going to say, walk away from. And I said, I don't know what I just said, but I went home feeling alive for the first time in years. And so the next day I went in willing to walk away with nothing. And I walked in and I said, okay, I have to leave. And the miracle was that she said, okay, well, here's your separation package, which was well over six figures. And I knew in that moment that, okay, trusting God is the only thing that matters. I was alive, and I could actually go on with my life. So I took this gift, and I truly stepped into a new journey. And I said, all right, God, you tell me what to do. I'm following you. And I said, I'm going to take some time. Well, first I said, I'll give myself 3 months, and then I'll go find work. Well, it turned into a year to begin with, thus the year of awakening. And I went to Peru and Machu Picchu. I went to Teotihuacan, studying with one of McGill Ruiz's students. I studied with Miguel Ruiz, and I'm learning all this new stuff I had never heard before. But at the same time, I was writing in my journals with God. And God was writing to me and teaching me things that I had never heard before. And I was still like, so here's the human Diane who believed in separation theology, who was like being taught oneness theology through my hands, and it's being kind of like confirmed. And how it worked was I'd write something, and then the next day somebody else would confirm it, whether it was Miguel Ruiz or another teacher, or Eckhart Tolle, or then finally I picked up the book Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, and I'm reading that and going, oh my gosh, I've read this before. It's like, no, I've written this before. Somebody else is talking to God. Because I frankly thought I was crazy. Again, I was like, my mindset was, I was a software geek, you know? Here I am talking to God. It didn't make any sense. But what was coming through me really made more sense than anything I had ever heard in my life. And so through this writing and then all the changes, I wound up moving to Colorado. I decided to pursue my art career again. And I start from my trip to Peru, I took a bunch of pictures, and I came back and I started working on a series of work that I will say, this is a 5-foot by 5-foot oil and acrylic painting. And it was an experience like I began painting to a level that I had never painted before in my life. And so, asking God, what do I do? Well, you're going to paint. And so it was an incredible journey. I moved here, I'm painting this series. The other thing that happened is I got inspired to start playing music again. I put my guitar down when I was 20 because I was painting, and frankly, I wasn't a good singer. I couldn't play very well. I had this old 12-string that was horrible to play, and I was like, I can't do that. I'm no good. I put it down. Well, got inspired to buy a new 12-string guitar and just fooling around with it, and all of a sudden music starts pouring out of me. It's like, okay, I'm just letting it happen. And so everything was unfolding, and then I said, well, God, you know, what about this writing? It seems like, you know, kind of small, being big to put in small print. And God said, oh, you're going to paint it. You know, you're a painter. And I'm like, what do you mean? And I got this vision of seeing 4-foot by 4-foot canvases painted yellow with writing on them. I'm like, okay. So I went to the store and I bought these canvases. I brought them home. I painted them yellow. And then I stared at them for a few days. And God said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to go write on them? I'm like, well, somebody might see it. And God said, exactly. So I picked up the brush and I walked up to the canvas, and shaking, I wrote this. Don't care what anyone thinks about you. Remember who you are. And that signature of God, which he would hear, I would hear, you and I are one. And I knew in my core that this was such a core issue for me. I did care what others thought about me. I spent my life doing what I thought everyone else thought I should do, what it was meant to be a successful person. I was living in a prison of fear and hiding who I truly was. So I continued to write on these canvases. And I'm going to read you the first six of them here, just to get a flavor of this conversation. This is a real, and I'll read them because they're hard to read up here, but this is a real experience that I had in terms of I would kind of do a meditation, walk up to the canvas, and ask in my heart, what is the question that wants to be asked? And then I'd walk up and I would paint that question. And then I'd change colors, and God picked this lavender purple, and it would answer me. And so this is kind of the example of the kind of conversations. Today we begin. God, I am here to share what I have learned about you, about us. I cannot contain the joy I feel in finding you. Here I share for the world to see your words through me. It is time. Please use me to write what you want the world to know. I have committed my life to you. Love, Diane. Diane, here we are, from paper to now canvas. I love the color. I see the joy and pain and fear in your heart as you make your very private writing with me very public. But you know the truth and have committed to the truth, and you cannot live the truth of yourself without sharing your experience of me. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for sharing your love, which is my love. We will touch many with this love. So, remember, as I sign with this symbol below, you and I are one. Love, God. Today, riding a wild Mustang in the high mountains, continuing to center into myself, finding my home, elation, peace, and grief, letting go of who I used to be. There is less room for her every day. For I am now becoming one who remembers. I am feeling sadness and love. Diane, this sadness and love is all part of your transformation to becoming one who remembers. Letting go of the ones you loved will release you to know all love. You fear that you will have nothing. But as you remember who you are, you know that you have everything. Your heart is so full of love that could never be lost. Let go of fear. The more you let go of who you believed you were, the more you will remember the truth of who you are. Let go and trust. Love, God. So God, I have let go of who I used to be and letting go of fear and searching for the truth of who I am. But God, who is that person? Diane, you are me. This is the basis of all truth. This is the truth beneath all life. This is what you came here to remember. For so long, you lived in fear. For your whole life, you chased the priorities of the illusion of this planet. And from the depths of darkness, you knew who you were was not the truth. You asked to know the truth, and I have come. Now look for the truth within your heart and know it is the truth of me. Love, God. God, what is this truth? How can I find this truth that seems so hard? Diane, go to peace, and in every moment of every day, ask yourself, is what you're doing, saying, and being from the truth of your heart? You can't ask your soul this question and not get an honest answer. Now you have a choice. Listen and follow this truth and live in the peace and love of your heart, or live in delusion and fear. For not living what is true for you is living in delusion. You know this, as you have felt like a stranger in your own skin. Ask the question. I will answer. Love, God. But God, I can't just do whatever I want. I have bills to pay and people that rely on me. I'm afraid to lose what I have. Whoop, I'm ahead one. Diane, your fear has you believing that you could lose anything of value. But since you have traded your soul for belief and fear, you really have nothing to lose and your life to gain. Fear keeps you from your truth. Fear keeps you from me. Fear keeps you from experiencing the greatest joy and love and prosperity that comes from living in truth. Diane, nothing can touch you because you are me. Living in your truth without fear is being the greatest you can be. From here, you can love and care for yourself and everyone in your life to a greater degree than ever before. Stop respecting or even acknowledging fear in yourself or anyone. It is the lie and the liar. Now watch for fear and look for what is really real. This is truth and where you will find me. Trust me. Love God. So this last one that I'm going to share with you brings up kind of the culmination of this whole message from God. It says, God, I do trust you, and I am even beginning to remember that I am you, but I live in this world, and the world is run by fear. It seems impossible to find the truth when just about everyone believes in fear. Diane, the world has forgotten that we are body, mind, and spirit. The body and mind are how you experience life, but your spirit, your connection to me, is who you are. When you believe in the world created by the mind and forget who you are, you will be afraid. In your current society, you do not teach of infinite love and oneness. You teach that you are what you know and what you have done. You teach that happiness is found outside yourself and that I am far away. Your heart knows the truth and is crying out. It is time to listen to the truth of your heart and recognize the mind as the one that has learned from the fears of an unconscious society and believes that is the truth. Diane, you're teaching your mind a new truth, one that comes from a greater depth of knowing than you have ever experienced. You are God, and God is not afraid. Love God. So what God was teaching me was oneness, theology versus separation theology. And I just want a little caveat here today is that I recently published the Journey to the Soul workbook that I actually wrote back then, but I put it away for a while. And somebody read it the other day, and she said, Diane, you know, I read your book. I'm like, oh, what did you think? She said, well, you lost me when you said you were God. And I said, oh. So I guess you kind of missed the whole point. And that is just, this is God is teaching me and why I'm sharing this. Because I'm like writing this stuff. I was like, God, I don't want anybody to think I'm you. And God, you know, like, come on, Diane. You're all the same. You're all one. It's like I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody. It's like, so I feel and know that this message is personal to me, but it's all our stories. It's all our, these messages are for all of us because it's true for all of us. We are all divine. And so the one thing I really want you to know is that I also learned from this experience that we can all have this personal relationship with God. We can all have a conversation with God, the divine, whatever you call it. It doesn't care. She doesn't care. But she does care that you know her and that we are an aspect of her that can talk to her and can connect with her and know and hear the guidance and grow in our relationship. And so she wrote to me, it's like, well, I talk to everyone who listens or not. And so everyone can choose to live a divinely guided life, and it starts with the decision. And as I share that story, that decision changed everything for me. I mean, it became extraordinary. The things were just extraordinary. And then I digress into the next story because things were great, but as I'm thinking, hey, you know, I'd kind of like to have a relationship again, and I'd kind of like to, and I actually kind of need to get some work. And so I started looking for some work, and I started kind of going back into the world and, you know, the dating thing and all that stuff. And it's like, and it's like, all right, God, well, I'm busy. I'll see you later. You know where this is going. So let's see here. Spent several years, actually, you know, some good things. I started an environmental nonprofit. I did some solar. I had one relationship didn't work out so well. I had another relationship that, you know, was better, but started doing a little coaching. I thought, yeah, I'm going to start sharing this. I mean, things were like, okay. And then at the same time, if really being honest, they weren't okay. I had some disasters. Disastrous relationship ends. Disastrous financial. That money that I left with, gone. Blew it. And I'm like, okay, well, I got to try to figure out how to get this together. And I was trying to bring back what I wanted to do. And so I said to God that, all right, I really want to start stepping up. And this was in like 2013, early 2013. And God's like, yeah, this is great. Why don't you start publishing the journals? You need to start getting these into the world. I'm like, really? It's like, yeah. So plan became September 1st, 2013, I was going to send out start sending the daily reminders with the journals with God. And I thought, okay, I'll just go back to these old journals and start publishing and sharing them every day and putting them in a blog and, you know, email blast. And that began. And then, but I think God knew something that I didn't, is that on September 12th, 2013, I was in a devastating flood in the town of Lyons where I live, as with many of my friends and people, actually people here. And it was a very traumatic and life-changing experience. And being in it and trapped in it was an incredible, you realize you have no control. Like, talk about, what does survival look like right now? And because you don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, we're in the middle of it. And so it was a very, very empowering and incredible experience. And so also part of this is like, well, the posting didn't go out that day or the next day, but then when I finally got out and was able to start writing again, I started writing with God like my life depended on it. And I'd already started this, posting it out there, so I like was already committed to sharing it. So the next level of putting that out, and I was terrified. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so vulnerable, it's so painful. And I set it out in the world, and then all these people were going, Diane, this is so incredible, thanks for sharing. I needed to hear that. Oh my gosh, we so support you. My community was like, they were there with me. And so it was me and God and everybody I was writing with and connecting with. And so then I started writing, which started with this obligation. And I started writing as a lifesaver for me. And I looked forward to my time with God every day and connecting and feeling the love and the healing. And then it was the rest of what was going on during this time was my relationship came to an end that needed to transform. It was time. We did that. My career, gone. Work, I was doing some consulting work as an addition to some coaching. The client that I was working with, he lost his building. That work was gone. All of a sudden, my whole financial situation was gone. My house was damaged, but I was able to go back, but I had to go back and clean up all the destroyed artwork and things that I had stored. I was moderately impacted based on many of my friends, but it was still an absolute life-changing event. But what was happening is that I started writing with God every day. And through that experience, I started to connect into another level of consciousness that I had ever experienced before. And I could go into my meditation, into my writing, and I could move into this higher level of awareness and consciousness and hope and power. And I knew that, and it was new and it was different. And what I discovered was, as I was saying, these phases of this awakening, this second phase was the cultivation of the relationship. And God's like, well, if you want a relationship with me, why don't you show up and spend time with me? And I did that every day. And what I found was the commitment to doing it every day created the transformation that I have been seeking my whole life. So since that time, I have been working again in the world, actually, really have found a nice balance between doing environmental service and work and solar and that side of things. And the other half of my time is doing this speaking and teaching from a whole level of another level of vulnerability and willingness and, really surrender. I said, God, I'm here to serve you and I trust you explicitly now. And so with that process, I now teach and support people in their own journey. And the other part of this I want to share is that you know, this really is coming into living in the union with God. So as God's symbol, that signs, it's called the union symbol. It says U-N-I-R-O-N-E, you and I are one. And as I was writing that signature, I said, God, that's beautiful. It needs a name. And God said, well, I told you, you and I are one. I'm like, that's kind of a long name. And God's like, no, spell it. And I saw U-N-I-O-N-E. And she said, that is the symbol of the union between the human and divine. And that really, as I'm understanding, is what awakening on earth is. It's like it's living in union, in that awareness of our divinity and our humanity and how we live from that place and experience and love it all. And so the third phase is the union. So we have step one is the decision. Step two is the cultivation. And step three is the union, which is the result. So if we just focus on the decision and then the cultivation, which cultivation is coming to unity, you know, reading spiritual books, and then your own practice, your own relationship with God. So in a few minutes, I'm going to share a video with my last song that is from the flood in Lyons, and I'll share a song that I wrote about that experience. Before I do that, I want to finish with one last thing that God wrote to me. January 15th, 2015. You'll play around in the illusion until you get tired of it. You'll dabble in psychology, self-help, metaphysics, and/or religion until you find it is just seeking a different version of the same story from your current level of consciousness. At some point, something will knock you off your feet or bring you to your knees, and you will ask with humility, now what? And I will answer. And you may hear me and ask me to help you, or you may not believe that I have answered and dismiss me a little longer. But at some point, you will decide you've had enough and surrender what you thought was real for the truth beyond space and time. And as you open to this knowing, you will feel a level of peace and love like never before. Now you know there is something more. You will go back to what is familiar, but you can no longer claim ignorance. You know there is something more and that it is up to you to choose it. Are you ready to accept that responsibility? Love God. We'll now take an offering for unity.
people which no one can restrain. Neighbors risking their own lives, returning to the waters, hoping everyone survives. We climbed to higher ground and watched our small town drown. Fathom a life, some livings and homes, but no one will ever be forgotten, 'cause we will take care of our
Thank you for letting me share this with you. It's like, you know, it is a little vulnerable being out here and sharing this message and this experience of this flood. And so, but I am also really excited to be doing a workshop this afternoon where I am going to be teaching you some of the techniques that I've used and others have used, how to really connect and know that the divine is talking to you and how to get messages. We're going to do it. We're going to do some meditation. We're going to actually experience this. And so I would love to have you join me this afternoon, and if you can't make it, if you want to also get on my email list, I will send you a link to a music video for this song that I just did, as well as more information about a 30-day journaling challenge I do, so you can tap into this experience in lots of different ways. So thank you again for your beautiful presence and kind attention, and thank you again for having me here.
Thank you, Diane. She also has CDs. She has CDs and jewelry that she makes out here, or if you out here in the lobby, or if you just want to come say hi to her just for fun. She's real nice. It's worth it. also, I want to say thank you for filling in. Jack, Norman, Satisha, they had to take a quick trip to New York. Their son Dell, his movie's showing this weekend, so they had to run up there. So I just want to say thank you for stepping in and fill in so many spots for us, and that was a solid. All right, let's all rise and let's sing our final benediction.